That bell reminds us of this threefold truth that calls us into worship, that Christ has died. It's past tense. It's happened. Christ is risen. It's present. He is here alive and with us, and Christ will come again. It's not a word of, it's not a threat. It's a promise of hope and life. Would you let that promise lead you into worship as we stand together and sing our call to worship? To God be the glory. Verse number one. God is good,
all the time.
I hope that today for you that is not just some chant that we often say, but a powerful statement of the hope you have in your life. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ today, and if you are a visitor with us, we especially want to encourage you to take the time to fill out a visitor card, and you can place that in the offering plate today. If you want to include your email address, we'll send you updates about activities and things and opportunities coming up in the life of this congregation. Today, there is a lot of energy in this room. There's a buzz all throughout the Elon community. Students are about to go to school tomorrow for the first time since summer. Some are excited. Some are depressed. There's all kinds of emotions going on. Our college students are back, and we especially want to extend a word of welcome to our college students who are here with us today. We look forward to another year of exciting ministry and service opportunities. I will point out, if you're on the college team, you have a little name tag. Would you stand up for just a moment so all of our students can see who you are? Hopefully, they gave you a little sheet of paper at some point, and you can sit down, team. If you'll give that to them after the service, or you can place it in the offering plate this morning, it'd be a way for them to get to know you a little bit better. But also, they will have many opportunities coming out up throughout this school year. Please pray for all of our students, our teachers, for all those who are support staff in the school systems and on the university campus. Today is a day that we set aside in worship just for that purpose. We call it the blessing of the backpacks. And it's just another reason for David to bring his Duke backpack, you know, and put it up here on the altar. But it's an opportunity to really pause and pray a blessing over the backpacks, but also over those students and our teachers and all of the educators in our congregation and community, and ask God to not just bless our students, teachers, administrators, but God to use our students and our teachers and administrators as a light and as a witness to share His glory with those in our community and surrounding areas. So would you allow that to guide your heart today as you think about, pray for, and encourage all those who are connected in some way with being back to school? Okay.
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 9 through 13. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Almighty God, in this hour of worship, lift us out of the routine of our daily lives. Let our worship come from our hearts that it may be genuine. Let our praises for you just leap from our mouths that we may be alive with faith and joy. And look on us in your compassion that we may gladly respond to your love and faithfully walk in your way through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Please stand and sing our hymn of praise, Thy Word. Please be seated. We have a back to school keep the focus video for you.
We'll be right back.
At this time, I would like to invite the children, youth, teachers, school administrators, our college students, and faculty to come forward and to please be seated on the steps in this front row. And if you have your backpack or your briefcase, please bring that too. Well, you look ready for school, your new shiny backpacks. Well, today we have before us backpacks to be carried to and from school by our children, our youth, our college, and teachers. Some days so much stuff will fill these backpacks that you might even find it difficult to walk. Other days it's going to be light, nearly empty. But on each and every day, these backpacks represent the work required of the students and the teachers. So we bring these students and teachers and these backpacks before God for a special blessing at this time. So congregation, please join me in the responsive reading. O holy God, the time has come when school begins. As these children begin their studies, we ask a blessing on their backpacks in which they carry the books and notebooks, markers, pens, and pencils that they will use to learn. Bless, O God, all who will teach our children in the coming days, weeks, and months. Give them the wisdom to find inspiration for each child. Give them the energy and creativity and love that will make their work a blessing to our children. Bless, O God, all school administrators that they may be faithful stewards of the resources entrusted to their care. Make them fair and merciful, able to do their crucial work with a spirit of grace and compassion. Bless, O God, each one gathered here, that we will seek every opportunity to grow in our knowledge and love of you, in our church, our school classes, our youth, children's, and college ministries. Grant that we may see you more clearly, love you more dearly, follow you more nearly. And bless, O God, these our cherished children and young adults, those whom we have promised to love and nurture. Keep them safe, keep them excited, keep them ever seeking to learn more and to develop their gifts. Grant that through their study, they may gain the tools to grow in love, faith, and service all their days. Bless, O God, these backpacks and the children who carry them. O Lord of life and love, thank you that you hear our prayer.
Students and teachers, I ask that you receive this blessing. Would you pray with me? May the God who is the source of all wisdom fill your hearts and minds with the Holy Spirit to lead you step by step in every situation you are encountered, in every moment, and in every friendship and interaction, every class, every test, guide you to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth, to love the Lord your God with your whole being, to love your neighbor as yourself, and to make disciples. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our worship team has put together really sweet and wonderful goodie bags for you. The ones for the students are over here, and I think the worship team is going to come and pass that out, and the ones for the teachers are on this side. So our worship team will come now and help pass those out. And you may go get them. We will all be praying for you as you begin your first week back to school. Let's stand and sing our offertory hymn. It's in your hymn book, number 579, Shine, Jesus, Shine. Please stand.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we ask that you bless our tithes and offerings that we bring you today as only a small token of the many things you've given us, that may we with these tokens shall continue worshiping and furthering your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
reading from Paul's letter to the church at Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Amen.
Thank you.
this morning I have a sermon illustration that I could just tell you about, but I thought it'd be a lot more fun, at least for me, if I showed you this sermon illustration. So Wilson's bringing it in. This is a dog that you've heard a lot about. This is our Mary. Mary is a miniature dachshund. Her color is Isabella and tan, and she's not a puppy. She's actually 5 years old. And she's been very excited about her big day. to become. She says, I be famous. That's how she talks in our mind. But I brought Mary. Does any of the children or youth, you want to pet Mary, you can just raise your hand. I'll bring her over to you. She's very sweet. She's our little therapy dog. And sometimes I bring her with me to visit people. Anybody over here? Let's see, I can slide that way. You've seen Mary before. Oh, a big nasty kiss. I don't know why anybody wants to be kissed in the mouth by a dog. And it's a myth. Their mouths are not cleaner than your mouth. Don't believe that. Well, Mary, the reason I brought Mary, let me slide through again, sorry. It's because Mary has taught me a lot recently. And I really have this belief that animals can teach us a lot. God throughout the Bible speaks through animals. God uses animals to communicate truths. God uses animals as symbols all throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But Mary really taught me something. Here's something that Mary does. Mary does not really like to sit on my lap. She likes to sit on her own little pillow or her own little blanket. Paul, you've kept Mary. You know this is true. And what does she do when she's on her blanket? And she passes out, dead to the world. That's what Mary likes to do. But if I ever come home and I've had a bad day, or if I'm sad, or especially if I'm sick, if I've got a cold or a stomach ache, here's what Mary does. She gets off of her throne. She kind of slowly wiggles up next to me. Then she puts her head on my lap first, right there on my knee. She looks up at me. She blinks a few times. And then she wiggles up into my lap. And she just lays there trying to be as cute as she possibly can be. Which, look at her. It's not that hard. And I really think that, you know, scientists talk about emotions in dogs or feelings in dogs and instincts in dogs. I don't really care about all that. What I know is that she somehow empathizes with me. She senses that this guy, something's different. He's not acting the way he's supposed to act. She notices things. And she notices that either he's not feeling well, or maybe he's sad, or maybe he's angry about something. And so that sympathy or that empathy that she's feeling, or whatever she's going on in that little brain, which couldn't be too big, whatever's going on up there, she senses it, and she has what I would call compassion. And that compassion moves her to action. So, children, you're getting ready to go back to school, and I want those three words to be defined for you as you get ready to attend classes, all the way from kindergarten or preschool all the way up through a senior year in university. You need to understand what those three words mean, as Mary has demonstrated them for us. Empathy is really just a big word for seeing someone else and really seeing them and seeing what they're going through, seeing what they're struggling with. And when you see their emotions, you kind of feel it. You kind of sense it, but also sort of feel it. You connect with it. It makes sense to you. That's empathy. It's just seeing what other people are going through, paying attention to it, and caring about it. And empathy leads us to compassion. What is compassion? Compassion was one of the instructions in that scripture that David read from Colossians, where we are specifically told by Paul to have compassion for each other. And the Greek word, I love it, that's used there, if you wanted to literally define it, it is pity coming from the guts. Think about that definition. Pity coming from your gut. See, in the ancient world, the mind was not the seat of emotion. It was the guts, the bowels. You know, when you really have a sense of compassion, maybe you watched one of those commercials. We're talking about dogs where Sarah McLachlan is singing In the Arms of an Angel. And you feel something in your gut, don't you? Or perhaps you watch those Feed the Children commercials and you see those imageries that just make you want to change the channel because it creates this overwhelming feeling in your gut, pity from the guts. Or when I was a kid and the nature boy Ric Flair was beating up on Dusty Rhodes, I felt something in my gut. That's compassion. It is not just a feeling. It's this call to action, to do something. Just like Mary does something about what she sees, observes, and senses, she acts on it. Even with that little pea brain of hers, bless her heart, she knows to do that. So when we are at school, whether we're teacher or student, and we see our fellow classmates, we see the people around us, do we pay attention to them? Are they hurting? Are they happy? Are they sad? Are they mad about something? Are they frustrated? See it and connect with it. That's empathy. And then to allow that to change our mood, our attitude, to allow that to really affect us to the point where we actually care about somebody else and what they're going through, that's compassion. But the most important thing is that last step, isn't it? Acting. What do we do about our compassion? What do we do about our empathy? How do we act on it? Paul writes about that in another passage. I'm not really a one-verse preacher, but every now and then one verse is enough.
Amen.
And for... First Peter, chapter 3, verse 8, Peter writes, finally, all of you have unity of spirit, sympathy, love for one another, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Unity of spirit is a great word of instruction. Think about whether you're a teacher or a student, it doesn't matter. Think about, are you one who builds connections and community, who brings people together? Or are you one who creates division? And we can create division so subtly, just by things we do or don't do. If you have two friends and they're fighting, do you take a side? Do you encourage them? Did you hear what she said about you? Did you hear what he said about you? Or do you say, guys, stop it. Stop fighting. Are you a peacemaker? A unity builder? Bringing people together? As we enter into this new academic year, you have an opportunity. And whether you're in school or not, it doesn't matter. Even if you're homeschooled, you have an opportunity to build unity and peace in any situation and relationship you have. He says to have sympathy. We talked about that. Love for one another. In both this passage and in the passage that David read, that is the key, isn't it? Love. We talked on Thursday morning in praise and prayer time. Can you learn how to love? Because there are some people that they seem to love very naturally. They seem to have compassion naturally or empathy very naturally. And then there are people like me, we got to work on it a little bit. Can you learn how to love people? And the answer we came up with, the conclusion that we rested on was, well, we're not thinking about love the right way. We're thinking about love as an emotion. And love's not, is it? Love is the things we do. It's action-driven. So we might not be able to learn how to have an emotional response, but we can learn how to behave ourselves rightly. That's what love is. It's the things we do for other people, the things we say for other people. And 9 times out of 10, if you act in love, there will be some sort of emotion, big or small. That just depends on your chemical makeup, I guess, the way God formed you. But you can learn how to love and do it rightly. And then he goes on to say, to have a tender heart and a humble mind. Students, it doesn't matter if you're in the classroom or on the ball field or in your own house, be humble. Being humble does not mean you don't think you're good. Being humble doesn't mean that you somehow deny your abilities or the things that you have. Being humble means you just keep a low key about it, kid. Don't go to school bragging about all the toys you have or all the big things you did over the weekend. Share it with your friends, but don't brag about it. Don't go around thinking that you're better than everyone else. And I don't care if you're 8 or 82. That's just good advice from the Scriptures. In fact, it's a command. Don't be arrogant and prideful. And all of these things are reminding us, these instructions both here from 1 Peter and from Colossians, that being a disciple is not something that happens just here, but when we're out there in our communities, in our schools, in our classrooms, or even our workplaces, we're called to have these kinds of hearts and these kind of mindsets that we really see each other, we connect with each other's needs, we allow that to move us to a change of attitude called compassion, and then we do something about it. You see a kid being picked on? Stand up for him. Pray for the bully. Pray for him or her. You see someone drop their books? What do? You help them pick up their books. That's right. You see someone who's moping around the hallways? Don't go up. If you're not having a bad day, don't go up and be fake about it and say, you know, praise Jesus, I'm having a great day too. How about you? Amen. No, just be there for someone. Just being with someone to encourage them. And those little acts of compassion can change the world. It might not change the world globally, but it could change the world of someone's life. It could change their world. But who knows? It might change history. I brought this picture with me. This is me and a couple of my buddies. This is John Graham and Dennis Clifton. This is back, seems like 100 years and 100 pounds ago. My senior year of high school. I'll leave it up here if you want to take a look at it. But this is us. We're all three in Boy Scouts, and we're at the Scout Show. And we've just taken this 50-gallon drum and attached chains to it and hooked it up on a big frame and made a bucking bull out of it. And that was our Scout project. Scouts is something that changed my life. It had a huge impact on me, taught me all kinds of things being a Boy Scout. But I started to ask myself my senior year in high school, where did this come from? What's causing all this? How did I end up here being the beneficiary, the one who gets to benefit from all of this fun, activities, learning, being out in nature, playing with snakes and things like that? Where did all this come from? And when I looked in the Boy Scout handbook, and this is not a plug for Boy Scouts, this is just a story, a real story. We all, many people know that there's this guy, Lord Robert Baden Powell, who started Boy Scouts in England. But how did it end up here? Well, the story that's written there in the book tells about Robert D. Boyce, who was an American businessman. And he was in London. And he was doing some business there, and he found himself completely and utterly lost in the fogs of London. And Boyce didn't know which way was left or right or how to make it back to his hotel, much less to the business office he was trying to find. And there was this little kid across the street who wandered up to him and noticed him, saw the panicked look on his face, the look of frustration. We said that was empathy. He connected with it. He was compassionate. He took pity from the guts on this lost American. And as someone who lived in Europe for 3.5 years, God bless it when anybody takes pity on a lost American. But he did. He said, "Sir, follow me." He took Boyce through all the winding cobblestone paths to the exact address the guy was looking for and said, "Here you go, mister. Have a good day. Well, what did Boyce do? William D. Boyce wanted to do what every good American would do. He reaches into his pocket to tip the boy, and the boy says, "Sir, I can't accept that. I'm just a scout, and I'm simply doing my good turn." One little kid doing one little nice thing, one little act of compassion, one little generous guy through the fog. And Boyce was so struck by that, so impressed by this kid's behavior. He said, "Tell me, you got to tell me, what is a scout and what do you do?" So then the boy led him through the fog again to the office of Lord Robert Baden Powell, the founder of Scouts. He learned all about it. Boyce brought Scouts back to America. And for hundreds of years, almost, kids have been impacted by this thing called the Boy Scouts of America. And then here I am, my senior year, riding on a 50-gallon drum bucking bull with some of the best friends I ever had, knowing how to, as you learned about last week, build a squirrel trap and make fire without matches just in case I'm ever starving to death on I-95. All because of what? Because there was a little kid. We don't even know his name. We don't even know his mama's name or his daddy's name. We don't know where he came from or where he went. But there was this little kid who had a little bit of empathy that led him to have compassion on this lost man. And then he acted on it. Kids, youth, teachers, this is the year, your opportunity to change the world through compassion. Peter tells us to do it. Paul told us to do it. And most importantly, Jesus tells us to do it. Greater love hath no one than this, that he lays down his life for his brother. Would you pray with me? Lord, give us these open eyes that we need to see the people around us, to see what they're going through and struggling with. Fill our hearts with compassion, that we would be moved to love, to take pity on, to have concern for, to be humble unity makers, peace builders. And Lord, stir our feet and hands into action. To not be a people who just say, "Oh, I'll be praying for you," but people who do something, who lay down our lives for others. Not for our own glory or to pat ourselves on the back or make ourselves feel better, but Lord, help us to be driven and guided by a desire to glorify you and to be your ambassadors in this world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We invite you this morning to respond to God's word. Maybe God's spoken to you through the message in music or through a hymn or through a prayer or through this sermon or one of the scriptures. But however God speaks to us, we are called to action and to respond. As we stand together and sing our hymn of response, "I stand amazed in the presence." If you are able, would you stand? It's number 547 in your hymnals.
Thank you.
remind you before our benediction that today is one of the Sundays that you can sign up for the pictorial directory. Corey will be out here in the lobby with behind the table with the sign-up times. We encourage you to do that early so that you get the space that your family will work best with. Would you receive this blessing as we go? May the God of love fill your hearts and lead you into this week, giving you opportunities to love others, even as Christ has loved you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.